Bikurim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, 4-5. This is the last Mishnah of the Perek, of the Masechta, and in fact of all of Seder Zeroyim. So this is very exciting. We come to the end here. The Mishnah says, Eino shava lola anashim v'lo nashim ketzad. When it comes to androgynous, we said in the first Mishnah of the Perek that in certain ways the androgynous is neither like a male nor a female. So how does that work? The Mishnah will give a total of 4 ways in which it's neither like a male nor a female. The first is ein chayavin al tumaso. If androgynous has an emission, as we said in the previous Mishnayos, so we're afraid maybe that he is a male and therefore he has a white emission like a man, we'll consider him tamei misafik. Similarly, if out of his female parts he has a red emission like a woman, we'll consider the androgynous tamei out of safik again. But if the androgynous goes, say, into the Beis HaMikdash, which is a place forbidden to go if a person has tamei, and we're treating him tamei misafik, maybe he had the white emission or the red emission, so then if he actually goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he won't be liable for the consequences because his tumah is only a safik. And in fact, more than that, it will come out, based on a Gemara in Nida, in Daf Chav Ches, that there's a special lima that even if an androgynous had both a white emission out of his male parts and a red emission out of his female parts, still he will be exempt from culpability if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. It's a separate rule all to itself that makes for androgynous exempt. Second of all, the ein sorfen al tumaso, we don't burn, literally we don't burn because of his tuma. That is to say, let's say for example for truma. If truma becomes tamei, so it has to be burned, has to be destroyed. Now, if our androgynous had a white emission, let's say, so we're treating him tamei misafik, if he touches truma, the truma is treated to be also truma tamea, and no one can eat it, but we won't burn it because there's a separate prohibition of destroying truma that's tahor, and truma tahora, has to be protected so from becoming destroyed or even tamei further. And since maybe he is a female, and therefore maybe his tumah is only just a suffix tumah, although we'll treat him as tamei, and the truma that he touches is also truma tamea, but we won't burn it. Same goes if he had a red emission out of his female parts. Maybe he is really a she, and therefore we treat him tamei misafik, but again, if such a androgynous who had this red emission touches truma, we'll treat it as tamei, but only tamei misafik, and therefore it's truma tamea that can't be eaten, but won't be burned. Here, in contrast to the previous case in the Mishnah, the simple understanding would be, according to most Rishonim, that if he both had a white emission out of his male parts and a red emission out of his female parts, now there's no more suffix. Now the androgynous is a vadai tamei, maybe he's tamei, maybe she's tamei, but definitely the androgynous is tamei, and in such a case, with both tumas coming, if the androgynous would touch truma, the truma would in fact be burned. That's how most Rishonim learn. Next, the third way that he's neither like male nor female is Veino Nerach lo kanashim v'lo kanashim. The rule of Arachin, this is Maseches Arachin, and that based on some Psukim in Bechukosai, it's there in Perek Chav Zayin, chapter 27 of Vayikra Leviticus. So there's a schedule that the Torah sets out. If a person commits the value of another person, the erech, I'll call it, I don't call it value, the erech of another person, there's a schedule that the Torah sets forth, and the erech of a person depends basically on two factors, whether the person is a male or female, and second of all, the age of that person. There's a schedule, there's like a table. So if a person says, I commit to the Beis HaMikdash the erech of Joe, my friend the androgynous, since Joe the androgynous doesn't fit anywhere on the table, he's not a male, not a female, and that being the case, there simply is no erech. He doesn't fit to the schedule. He's non-applicable. And that being the case, if a person made a commitment to give the erech of an androgynous, his commitment is meaningless, meaning he gives nothing. There's no commitment. It's not binding because the androgynous doesn't have a place on the table, and therefore there's no applicable erech to him. That's what the Mishnah says here again. So that's the third case. Veino ne'erach, he can't be used as an erech commitment. Lo kanashim, lo kanashim. Neither is a male nor a female. Fourth, Veino Nimkar be'evid ivri lo kanashim v'lo kanashim. He can't be sold into servitude as a Jew, unlike male or female Jews. The case is like this, that you have to get this a little more complicated. When it comes to male Jews, So there are two ways in which a male Jew can become an Eved Ivri, a servant, an indentured servant to a person, his employer, I'll call it. So either the Jew is just impoverished and has no money, so he can sell himself into servitude so that he can be supported. Or alternatively, let's say he steals something and he can't pay back the consequences that he has to pay back is based on the Bezdin, so he'll end up having to work off his debt in servitude, again, as an Eved Ivri. So Eved Ivri, just to make sure you're clear, isn't owned by somebody else, but he's in servitude and he has to work for somebody else. So that can happen to a Jew could sell himself or be forced to be sold into servitude, but only it applies to a Jew who's past bar mitzvah. Only he is legally enabled to sell himself into servitude or be culpable to the Beis Din and being sold into servitude because of his debts. If the male Jew is less than bar mitzvah, there's just no way for him to become an Eved Ivri. His parents can't sell him, he can't sell himself, and he won't be culpable to the Beis Din, so there's no way for him to become an Eved. So male Avadim are always older than 13, Eved Ivri, Jewish slaves. As for females, so there's no way for a grown woman Jew to become an Amma Avriya, go into servitude. She can't sell herself into servitude. She can't, if she gets into debt, we won't force her to go into servitude, none of that. The only exception is the Torah allows that if a family is so impoverished, they can't support their daughter, and the daughter is a child, meaning she's not yet bas mitzvah, so she's less than 12. The father can sell his child into servitude, meaning she has to serve some of their house as an indentured servant, and then the household will support her. The way the Ramban and others explain it is the hope is that the employer will end up marrying this daughter, this child. But at all events, once she reaches puberty, let's call it when she comes to bas mitzvah to keep it simple, so at the age of 12, so she's no longer, there's no way that a Jewish girl can be an Amma Avriya. We hope that she'll be taken in and married by her employer or her employer's, you know, father or son, whatever the case may be. But if no one's going to marry her, then once she goes to puberty, call it bas mitzvah, so then she, at 12 years old, let's call it, so then she goes free, no matter what. So what it means then is that there's no way for a girl older than 12 to be an Amma Avriya, and no way for a boy younger than 13 to be an Eved Ivri. That being the case, this androgynous will never have a window where he could be possibly male and possibly female and be sold into servitude, and therefore there's just no way for him, the androgynous, to be an Eved Ivri. That's what the Mishnah says here, Ve'eno nimkar be'Eved Ivri, he can never be sold into servitude, lo kanashim v'lo kanashim, not like a male or female, who there is a way in which you could make a Jewish male or female be an Eved, at least temporarily. Okay. Next, vim amar hareini nazir she'ein ze ish ve'isha harei ze nazir. If a person says, now I'll learn this like the Bartanur, excuse me, like the Rush first, because I've been following him the whole way through. The Rush learns that if a person says, I'm a nazir, if this person isn't a male, or if a person says, I'm a nazir, if this person isn't a female, then they're still a nazir. Why? Because the simplest explanation I'll give that seems to be that, well, it's a suffix, and maybe she is a male, or maybe maybe she is a female, or maybe he is a male, the androgynous. And that being the case, since he took that neder, saying that this person isn't a male or isn't a female, it's possibly true, and therefore they'll be a nazir misafik. That's the simplest way to understand the Rush. Others learn that the neder here is kind of more similar to the previous Mishnah, that a person who's taking the neder says this person is neither a male nor a female. In other words, it's like the previous Mishnah, we said it's two guys walking down the street. Mr. A says, whoa, similar to the previous Mishnah, I'll say, explain this Mishnah now. The person says, whoa, that person is neither male nor female. And the other person with him, Mr. B, says, what are you talking about? No such thing. I'm a nazir if that person is neither male nor female. So we say that person, Mr. B, is in fact a nazir because in certain legal ways, as you see from this Mishnah, the androgynous is neither male nor female. And therefore become a nazir. That's how others learn it. And I think it's more straightforward. Now, the Mishnah is ending up now. And the last thing the Mishnah says is Rabbi Yossi is going to say, Rabbi Yossi Omer Androgynous Beria Bifnei Atzma. That Rabbi Yossi says that androgynous is a category all to itself. Now, Velohechriyo Bo Chachamim, and the Chacham just never put their foot in and decided, Im Ish, Im Isha, whether he's legally started, treated like a male or female. So there's different approach from the Rishonim what Rabbi Yossi is coming to do. So Tosfos learns, the sugya really is in Yevamos Pei Gimel, Tosfos learns that he's not really saying anything at all new, which is a little peculiar. Rabbi Yossi is agreeing with the Tanakhama, and he's just reaffirming what the Tanakhama said, that it's a every androgynous is like a category to itself, and as much as they're suffic male, suffic female, and then the halakas, as we said in the whole parak up to now, apply to the androgynous. And the reason why Rabbi Yossi even speaks this out is to make in contradistinction to the next sentence in the Mishnah, which is aval tumtum, when it comes to a tumtum, a person who is also there, whether they're male or female is ambiguous, but not because they have both types of organs, but rather because whatever genitalia they have is covered up by like a layer of skin, like a flap of skin, and you can't tell whether it's male or female. But beneath the skin, the tumtum really is either pure male or pure female. It's just we don't know. But obviously, in the year, you know, in the 21st century, you could just perform surgery on such a person and reveal whether the tumtum is male or female. And at that point, it'd be clear there's no suffix anymore. It's a vadai forevermore, male or female, depending on what you find beneath the flap. In contrast, there's no way to determine whether androgynous is male or female. By the way, the poskim and really the genetics is that you couldn't even do a genetics test, meaning hypothetically that the androgynous comes out as being XX or XY. It doesn't make a difference. The pashas, the halacha, doesn't make a difference. We look on the morphology, how the body has developed and so on, and how the person's shaped, let's call it, and not their genetics. And the truth is that androgynous is caused by reasons potentially other than genetics. Roughly 50% of androgens are in fact XY, and the other half roughly are XX. What's going on there really is hormonal, typically, or other kinds of things that went wrong developmentally early on. Whatever the case is, the point Rabbi Yossi is saying, according to Tosfos in Yevamos, is that the androgynous is forever a suffix, whereas the tumtum really is just, we don't know the answer. It's iyadia, we're not sure what the rules to apply to him are, but we could find out ultimately, and then it will be perfectly clear. Others learn that, like the Ramban, most importantly, there in Yevamos, that Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing with the Tanakhama, and he's saying, it's not that androgynous is a suffix male, suffix female. No, there's a third category. There's male, female, and androgynous. And androgynous is a third category. It's a beria b'fnei atzmo. It's like a whole different category, which has its own rules, and the rabbis never said if the rules of males or females should apply to the androgynous. There's something different entirely, as you saw in our Mishnah. So that's a different approach. The Rush, who I've been following along, has a long piece here, and he's kind of combined the two, if you will. He says that it's not clear whether the androgynous is a male or female. It's also very possible, says Rabbi Yossi, disagreeing with Tanakhama, possible that the androgynous is neither male nor female, but a third category all to itself, and that's a suffix, a separate suffix. So it's the androgynous is like almost like a double suffix. We don't know if it's male or female, and maybe even the answer is neither, but not certainly neither. So the Ramban said definitely. Rabbi Yossi says it's a third category. The Rush says we're not sure if it's a third category or not. Everyone agrees, however, the tumtum is the same. Tumtum, if you uncover the tumtum's flap of skin surgically, you'll find out whether it's a male or female, and that'll be no more suffix anymore. Okay, so that's the androgynous story. And again, the Mishnah ends of a tumtum, the person who has this kind of very rare condition where the word atum means blocked off. So tumtum is a blocked off person. That is to say, the genitals are covered by some kind of fold of skin or something. A very rare condition, but it can happen. And we don't know if the tumtum is male or female just because we just don't know. Our eyes are still closed. We haven't looked. But the tumtum is totally different to androgynous because that mystery can be removed. He's anokin. He's not like an androgynous. Elis, suffic, ish, suffic, isha. He's not a different category. He just simply is, you don't know whether he's male or female until you find out by doing surgery. Okay, and with that, Slika la Maseches Bikurim, Baruch Hashem, we finish Maseches Bikurim, and Hadran Alach. Seder Zeroyim. We finish all of Seder Zeroyim. Mazel tov to everyone who participated. Next up, we begin Seder Moed with Maseches Shabbos Be'ezras Hashem.